You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life, or business, or maybe you already have and want more people on your email list. Or maybe you have your six-figure business that you want to elevate to the next level. We are here for you to give you the tools, tips, and strategies to do it, and to do it so you can have the freedom of time and money. All right, welcome to Womenpreneur Podcast to a brand new episode today with Mary Jo Cranmore. Mary Jo is a former TV news writer and a producer for network affiliates around the country, including field producing for Dateline NBC and GMA. For nearly 30 years, Mary Jo has been making videos for the networks, network affiliates, and for some of the largest brands in the country, including Discovery Health Channel, Kraft Foods, Ann Taylor, and Verizon. Mary Jo helps entrepreneurs break through their blocks around telling their stories and make great video content that connects and converts viewers into clients. I'm telling you, ladies, this was such an amazing interview. You'll find so many valuable tips about making videos, the kinds of videos you should make, what to expect, how to find the content, and today's conversation is laden with actionable tips that you can use right away. For the newbie video makers like me, Mary Jo gives us a project to do. And also, don't forget to go on the website womenpreneursuccess.com/Mary, and you can find the giveaways that she has given in terms of content and the equipment that you need for creating wonderful videos. So go on the website, get those. They're completely free, and I'm telling you, they're going to be so useful. And enjoy the conversation today with Mary Jo. She has a ton of valuable information, and I bet you're going to love it.
Hi, Mary Jo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule to talk to us today.
Well, absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you. And you've been doing some really fun stuff and you have so many new things coming up. But before we get into all of that, I want to know, what was your first ever job?
Wow. Well, my first ever job, my first job in my career. My first ever job, I quit college. I was at a liberal arts school in New England, and I knew I wanted to become a journalist. So I quit school, and my father was a CEO of a large company, and my mother had her own career as a chef and everything. And they paraded people through the house. You're going back to college. You're going back to college. And I said, of course I am. I just need to transfer. And they said, okay, well, go get a job. And I went and I got a job. I lived in the Hartford area. And I got a job at the Hartford Insurance Company working with the underwriters. And I came home and my mother was like, oh, you got a real job. I thought you were just going to, you know, get a bartending job. And I was like, why would I do that? So that was my first job. And it was really awful, actually.
Oh, yeah. So how did you get into TV and media from there?
I spent a year at the Hartford. It was a great blessing because I really saw what I did not want to do. And first of all, they had me working with math, and I was like, don't I have like writing and creativity all over me on the different side of the brain? And so I went back to school. I transferred to the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And I was a journalism and a film double major there. And film was very cool. It was such a fun thing to do. And the journalism part was really about telling story. And I just fell in love with the idea of everybody has a story. Bill Geist on CBS Sunday Morning does a feature called Everyone Has a Story, and he goes all over the country and picks just random people. Mm-hmm. And they all have a story. And what I realized was he is a talented journalist that's able to get the story out of them. And that's what I wanted to do. So I went to work at Channel 5 in Chicago for $0 for 6 months as an intern. And that was a great experience. A big market like that and being able to see how it all went together. And then my first producing job, my first paying TV job, I was hired over the phone.
Nice. So did you tell a good story over the phone?
I guess I did. Sherry Avery was the news director at the station TV20 down in Fort Myers, Florida, pretty small market at the time, 98. Mm-hmm. And I think it's now a 60s market, which is, it's grown a lot in terms of population. And I don't know. I remember standing in my kitchen in Chicago and talking with her about just what I told you about mm-hmm. storytelling. Way before it was really super fashionable or anything like that. And she was like, yeah, you're hired.
Oh, nice.
I thought she was calling me up to get me down there to interview me. She's like, no, you're hired. I was like, all okay. Right, cool. I'm a producer.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, how it happened.
Nice. So that's a great segue. I definitely believe, which I'm sure you do too, and you can tell us more about it, is for you to stand out, it's totally important to bring your story out, right? As a personal brand, I think everybody today has a personal brand. How can one weave in those stories into your personal brand to really stand out? Do you have any strategies for us?
I do. When you find yourself telling people about your process or mm-hmm. about how you do what you do, take a step back and think about an individual client that you've worked with and then tell that story that illustrates that. Because what's going to happen is when you start telling these process-oriented narratives, people don't care. And
right.
What they will care about, though, is where that client was when you started with them and where they ended up, what was the result pathway. They will care about that, and they will care about it because you're telling them about a person and mm-hmm. you're telling them about a story of someone else who is having the same struggle and you help them out of it. So that story is just, it's a portable vehicle. It's a way that you can take that experience and make it connect to another human being who has no real connection to that story.
Right, right. And, a lot of times I've read and I've heard and I've experienced it myself is that people tend to connect with you, especially if you have, either a product you're selling or an online business, when you show, I guess they call it lifestyle mm-hmm. photos or lifestyle voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, how important do you think is that? I mean, of course, say you have an Instagram page and I'm selling, dolls. It's definitely different to have a whole page filled with just product of or product pictures mm-hmm. versus actually showing what, how people are using that product. How important do you think that is?
It is probably the most critical piece right now because we connect with people. There's two different things here. I was thinking as you were talking mm-hmm. about individual, like a service business where someone would show their own lifestyle and their own way of doing things. That's critical because as a society now, we have an expectation that everybody has a great product. There's no mm-hmm. more lemons. There's no more, products or services that are going to be, completely bait and switch or anything. We have an assumption that we've worked that out of the system. For you to be a successful business owner, you can literally not get by the first couple of clients without, if you're shoddy or if you have terrible service mm-hmm. or whatever, you just can't exist. Mm-hmm. So we have an assumption of that. So the key differentiator is the human being that's behind the product or service now. Mm-hmm. And when we're seeing my lifestyle or my personality shine through, that's what people are really buying. And when you're talking about a product like a doll or something like that, there is a little bit of a thing that people do want to project themselves into, hey, that's a cool way of using that, or I didn't even, that's a neat thing. I can see my nephew or my niece, you know, getting into that. That's something they would do. And, you know, that's the way we work now. We have to tell, that's telling a story. You're in that still picture. You are still telling a story.
Right, right. It's really interesting to me because I feel like there's that thin line between too much personal information out there versus, right. you know, versus being transparent enough for your customers to understand you and see the process. Mm-hmm. What is, you know, how does one go about knowing where that line is?
I think it's about relevancy. I think it is about, you know, there is a lot of discussion, and I actually just worked with a group of people about, you know, doing video. And one of my messages is always that really you need to be vulnerable enough to share your own personal story, your own personal struggle, but it needs to be relevant, and you need to have the client understand, a potential client, this is why the reason I'm telling you this story is this is what it means for you. So you need to make that transition to this is what it means for you. And I think on the other side of the fence, I think it's very interesting to me that certain people who are so awesome at Facebook, my own particular friend circle I'm thinking of, so amazing at Facebook, but when they start doing it for their business, they just tighten right up. You know, they don't know what to say. They don't want to have an opinion. What if somebody hates the Red Sox and I'm a Yankee fan? You know, like they can't even go there.
And, right.
You know, you've got to share, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, and that's just never going to change. And some of my best friends are Yankee fans. So that's just how it is. And, you know, you have to be willing to share, and people need to feel emotion around things. If you are completely vanilla all the time, no one will trust you, because that's not human.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. So let's do that. I know you were talking about video right there. Video is that's something that I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't done too much video, and I know I need to. And I'm just, that's one of the things I'm like, okay, we're going to start soon. So maybe Mary Jo, you're going to push me to do video today.
I am definitely.
I know. So let's talk about, oh my gosh, there are so many questions here. So first, let's get into some specifics. And yes, we all know video is super important. It's a way to get you out there. Can you give us maybe some specific tips or strategies to get comfortable on video for somebody like me who's never done it before?
Well, the number one fear in America used to be public speaking. And I think people have just translated, I mean, number two is death. So, you know, see how that works. But, you know, they've translated public speaking to video. They just shifted that around. And in a sense, they're correct, you know, that people will be watching you. And the way that good video works is to be vulnerable, like I said. And that sort of opens you up for all kinds of, you know, I'm afraid of the haters. And what if I say something stupid? It's going to destroy my whole, all of the things I've worked for. The specific, sort of tips I would say is, whenever you're doing video, I certainly do a lot of off the cuff stuff, but I think you really have to keep those very singularly, have a very specific point, right? So they're just, it's a little story and there's a point. You're having experience, here's a story, and there's a point. When you're actually faced with the possibility of doing your first videos or getting started with videos, The thing that works for the clients I work with, and I believe me, I am no stranger to this, and I will say personally, as a producer, I never came out from behind the camera till after I was 40. And then, even then, I always had these amazing tech guys working with me, amazing videographers and lighting guys and all this stuff. Everything I did had those tech. So there was a huge part of this that was removed from me. So now when I do things for myself, I have a tremendous respect for anyone who does video, because not only are they putting themselves out there and they're saying, you know, they're expressing their philosophy and how they look at things, but they're willing to wade through the technology If it is at all daunting to them, they're getting through it. And those are the people who I most applaud. The ones that put up blocks and stuff, those are the people I help. So to really get by, the basic thing I say is super simple. Keep it as simple as you can and practice. Because you're not going to be, you know, Diane Sawyer right out of the gate. And nor should you be, because there's already a Diane Sawyer.
Right.
So what you need to do is you need to create your topic, give yourself a couple bullet points, allow yourself to talk it out first. If you script things and try to memorize it and try to be perfect and all that stuff, you're going to stop yourself and you're not going to develop a voice. It's going to be stilted and reading scripts and things like that. You know, that's not anybody's training. You know, you're either a nutritionist or you're a business coach or something like that. That is your specialty. So on video, allow yourself to be yourself, breathe, smile, be into your topic. That's the major thing, because that energy is going to come right through the screen at people. So that's my biggest tip, is really just stay within the hash marks of your personality and be yourself and show that energy that you about the work you love.
Awesome. But you know, let me ask you this. So my biggest thing is not really public speaking, you know, for me personally.
Yep, sure.
So I mean, I can stand up on stage and I can talk and I don't have a problem with it. But what stops me from really like going gung ho about video is I feel like you said, right, the quality. I feel like, you know, if it's not, if the quality is not to the up to the par, up to what I'm expecting, maybe the lighting is not right, or maybe something else, or maybe I'm like shaking the video and while I'm talking, or, you know, I just feel like the whole quality of the content that I'm putting out there may not be as great as what I would expect it to be, or what my standards are, or, you know, and, you know, it's all very subjective, but what I would want it to be, rather, I should say that. And that makes me feel like I'd rather not do it, you know, because I don't want bad quality content out there with my name on it.
I understand that completely. And I will say, this is what I will say, and this is how you can think about it. There are certain kinds of, there's a lot of different kinds of video. So first of all, I need to segment it in your mind. And there's lots of different kinds of video, and there's certain kinds of video that should be done by a professional. And that those videos are sort of the about me, the anchor videos that are, you know, the big pieces that will live on your website for a couple of years, even maybe. Your story, that's a little bit of what I do. I interview people and then I, you know, put together the B-roll, which is the video, the actual pictures, and, you know, the testimonials and things like that, so that that's a cohesive piece. My job is to make people love you. Okay, that's my job. So that kind of...
That's a great point, I think.
That's my job. And so I'm, you know, getting... We're talking for a half an hour and I'm using, what, 3 or 4 minutes of what you say. So that's one kind of video. Those are the big videos. And that's where, if you have money to spend, that's where the budget goes. Most of the budget should go there. All right. So the second type of video is a workhorse video. And that's sort of a hybrid. It's sort of a hybrid. You could have a professional do that, or you could do that yourself when you sort of get a little practice at it. And those videos are, you know, they're sort of educational. Maybe they're how to, maybe they're an announcement about a new product or a book or an event you're having or something along those lines. And those can stay up there for a little bit longer. Maybe they're up there for a couple of months, or, you know, the event may be shorter, but for the most part, they could live up there until there are changes in what you're teaching or what that product or service is. And then the third kind of video is a long tail video. And the long tail videos are videos that are connected to your blog posts. Those are sort of like personality videos. Those can be done on your phone. Okay. Those are things that you can do yourself. And here's a little project I would give everybody right now. If you're just getting started in video, the project I give everybody is your top 20 FAQs, frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. And there's a dual purpose to this. Number one, each one of those 20 things can then be a separate video. And that will perform great for Google. Google will love that you're putting up video every single week on your blog or however often you blog. And the other purpose of it is on YouTube, you'll be able to keyword and, you know, if keyword each video so that someone looking for that answer, it will be easy to find you. They'll come in through the door of YouTube, and then you should direct them to your website so they can sign up for your newsletter or do whatever you want. So that's sort of a use of a video, but those long tail videos are very, very important. And that's a lot of where my clients start most of the time.
I like that. And I think that's so right, because it's important for us to, especially me, I think also in my mind, is to that segmentation, you know, mm-hmm. to understand that, okay, I guess if it is a long tail video, then people are expecting it to be off the cuff.
Right.
They are expecting it to be like an okay quality or, you know, a decent quality.
Mm-hmm.
So versus, like you said, the about page is something that's more professionally done.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
So I should be doing more long tail videos. It's coming up.
Yeah, just start with that. And, you know, the thing is, like, those kinds of videos also – it's perfectly acceptable to use your phone. I will say to everybody, the one thing people will not tolerate is bad audio.
Right.
So, what you can do, the cool thing about iPhone is, in the microphone, in the headphones uh-huh. that they give you with this phone, there's a microphone in the little, like a plus uh-huh. minus switch, like a volume switch
yeah.
on there. There's a microphone
yeah.
there. So,
awesome.
You can be saved by using that.
Perfect. So are there any, if somebody is recording on the cell phone, are there any other like gadgets that they should be using apart from just the, you know, the headphones?
Yeah, I have a little, I believe in tripods. And mm-hmm. once you work in the video business, you're sort of like, wow, shooting without a tripod. Holy cow.
Right.
but when people shoot without a tripod, there's a good reason for it, right? It's part of the story mm-hmm. or, you know, like they're out, it's Discovery Channel and they're climbing a mountain. So they're not using a tripod all the time.
Right.
But for this type of video, when you're doing business videos, you're teaching people or you're sort of sharing your knowledge, there really mm-hmm. is no excuse for not using a tripod. And you can also use your webcam on your desktop if you don't have anything. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of little gadgets and little brackets that allow you to connect your iPhone to a traditional kind of tripod. Mm-hmm. And the difference between a still photographer's tripod and a video tripod is a video tripod has very smooth panning action.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making a movie. We're not George Lucas. It doesn't need to be anything great. So don't go crazy with that. You can buy a tripod for $15, $20. You can buy a bracket for your phone for $7.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier has never been lower in terms of the technology that you need because you have a camera in your phone that is better than some of the professional cameras 15 years ago.
Right. Awesome. So I'll link all of that up on the show notes. So maybe, you know, a lot of newbies like me can get started on video.
I do have
awesome.
On Amazon, they allow you to have a wish list.
Yes, yes.
I put together a wish list that is
perfect.
Like here, you know, that you can buy that would be very inexpensive. So.
Wonderful. So I'll definitely put that up in the show notes. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure, I'll share that with you.
Great. So let's talk about some content on video.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I love that, the top 20 FAQs to get started. Do you think it's, you know, a lot of off the cuff, of course, is there anything in particular in terms of like a blueprint or a strategy wise that people should be thinking about when they're thinking about the content for their video?
Yes, absolutely. I have a little, this is another thing I'll share with you. I have a little article that I wrote about creating a content calendar.
Oh, neat.
So that pretty much what you're doing is you're looking at your industry and what topics sort of like topic categories, okay? Topic mm-hmm. categories. And then down the side, you know, so it's like an Excel doc across the top or topic categories. Down the side might be more specific content ideas, and I'll share this with you so people can understand what I'm saying, that are sort of smaller or they're more targeted toward a specific problem or need. And then you can sort of go across in the categories and choose based on what, you know, sort of cross those two streams and see what you get in terms of a content idea. Mm-hmm. It's really just a way to jog your mind about these things. The other cool way is to go into there's a part of Google that allows you to put in topics. And anytime mm-hmm. there's an article written on a certain topic, like if you're, say you're a massage therapist mm-hmm. and you want to put in like stress reduction, you want to put in, mechanical injuries, or you want to put in, having fun, a cool mm-hmm. thing to, you know, a joyful thing, like a mm-hmm. way of passing the time or having fun. You can get articles in your industry right. from other people right. who are writing. So you can see what's going on, and right. so you'll be topical. So you can stay Wonderful. With the industry about what everybody else is writing. That's very important. And the final one is, what is upsetting you about mm-hmm. your industry? What do you hear from clients all the time that makes you want to pull your hair out? What are things that come across your day that make your life tougher or your client's life tougher? You know, anything that upsets you is probably upsetting somebody else.
Right.
So
right.
that would be a good way to determine potential content. So I would say in the big picture, get a calendar out, really mm-hmm. look at this article I've written that gives you ways of charting ideas. And then if you have something come up in the moment, go with it. But if you right. don't, then at least you have something as a backup that says, oh, my God, I've got to come up with an article this week. You're kidding me.
Right, right.
Right. So you have a thing you can look at that will help you jog your creativity
awesome.
And allow you to do it.
Awesome. I love that. So it's almost like a blog editorial calendar. Mm-hmm. You have a video editorial calendar. Nice.
Exactly.
And definitely Google Trends. I think that's really it's something that I've gotten into, and I love it. Every day in my email, I have, mm-hmm. you know, I get a list of all the stuff that I'm interested in, and I get to be on top of it, and it's neat. Yeah, I like it.
I love it too. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk about, you know, a couple of things. If we make a video, is it enough to put it on your blog or your website and YouTube? Or should you also be on Instagram videos and Periscope and all of that stuff? And I want to talk a little bit more about that.
I love Periscope, by the way.
Really?
Oh, my God. Well, I went to a network. I'll just digress for this 1 second.
Absolutely.
But Periscope, this is the first time I used it. I went to a networking event that was mm-hmm. not at the right address. They had put the wrong address on Meetup. And so five of us showed up to this networking event that wasn't there at all.
Oh, wow.
And so we were sort of standing around going, well, there's five of us here. That's enough. We can network with each other, right?
Can't right, do this. Right.
And so we did 19 minutes on Periscope about what to do when you show up to a networking event that isn't there.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. We had like 52 viewers or something like that. It was Yeah, it was fun.
That's
it was
awesome.
Fun because I'd never used it before. And I was like, this is awesome. This is live streaming
wow.
video. And you can, you know, people on Twitter, it's connected to Twitter.
Yes.
People on Twitter can connect with you. If anybody, when you go on, you can see who's live. Anybody uh-huh. that's following you or you're following, you can see who's live. And you can just jump on these things. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I think it's going to change the face of a lot of social and make some of the other social stuff look a little old, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
I mean, think about it. Facebook, what, you have to upload a picture?
Mm-hmm.
I can't just hit a button and be live broadcast?
Right, right.
To answer your question about is it enough, this is the pathway I recommend to my clients, because the purpose of your business is to sell stuff, right? So mm-hmm. you want people going to the pages on your website where – they will find the thing they're looking for. So if you put a video up on YouTube, that's the first step. Put it up on YouTube, correctly headline it, use keyword, SEO keywords in your description. The description should be quite deep, 300 words a minimum. The first thing you should put in your description is the URL you want them to go to. So HTTP, the whole URL, HTTP :// the whole URL. And it should go to a specific page that has something to do with that video. So if you're doing a video, let's say I'm doing a video about getting started in video. And I have a class, a video class that I teach. And my goal is for them to get free information or sign up for the class, then that's the URL I'm going to send them to. And the path is come in through the big funnel, which is YouTube, and it's just a search engine. It's a Google search engine, so people will find you, and you get funneled back into the website. You want to keep them on your website, and you want them to do something. So you need to make a very clear, it needs to be very intentional where you're people and will they know what to do. And there's the difference between a landing page and just a regular old, you know, I see lots of people just sending people to their homepage. It's not terrible, but ultimately if you want people to do a thing, you should send them where they can do that thing.
Absolutely. So you do recommend using landing pages then?
Oh, absolutely.
For that particular, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's really neat. And I think, like you said, right, have a very clear call to action. Because I think that's one thing that I've really learned is you have to be very, you know, you have to let people know what to do. You can't expect them to assume what to do.
No. You spend all that time and money driving people to your website. It's really not that much more work. I mean, after all the stuff you put in, don't let that traffic just bounce right off. I mean, if you're making videos and doing landing pages and stuff and they get there and they have no idea what to do, you've really wasted a lot of money and time.
Right, right. Awesome, awesome. Great. So you love Periscope. I really wanted to know about that. That's awesome.
I do love it. It's so new. Nice. It's only a couple of weeks old, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah, I think, and I've been seeing a lot of people because I keep getting I have Periscope on my phone. I haven't really used it. And I keep getting, oh, this person is live now. I'm like, okay.
Okay, then.
Right. Neat. All right. So you've really given me a lot of thought. I think I'm really going to start doing videos. So.
All right. Good deal. Cha-ching.
Neat. I know.
I can be done with work now because I've done my job.
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people listening out there, especially those that are on that little hedge there and like, okay, should I do it or should I not? Should I jump into it? Yeah, just go right for it.
Just start. And you're going to be terrible. Absolutely. You're going to be terrible. And keep the videos. Do not erase them because you'll see how great your progress is in a short period of time.
Right, exactly. And that reminds me of a Zig Ziglar quote. I think it said, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great.
Oh, amen to that. Boy, that is true. That is 100% true.
Awesome. So Mary Jo, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say if you can really nail your ideal client profile, that would be that to me. If you build anything on an ideal client profile that isn't right on, you're going to have problems. So if you can really look at that ideal client, you may have two or three, but really just look at one person, an avatar, make an avatar of your ideal client. You know how that person would, are they the kind of people who have a desk job or are they adventurers? Are they, you know, are they interested in learning or do they like community more? You know, what is that person? What is their problem and what is their pain point and how do you solve that? If you can solve that puzzle for yourself and then once you have it, go and test it and be open enough to know that you might have made a mistake. So just go out there you know this ideal client is the person you'd like to work with, someone who loves what you're doing, they need what you have, they have the budget to pay for it, they're willing to pay for it, and they will sing your praises. Because ideally, what you want is a kind of client who is going to turn around and recommend you and give you testimonials that you will happily share. Those are the clients that you really want. So go out then, start speaking, start networking, and test it. And don't be afraid to be like, you know what? I was a little bit off.
Right.
And
right.
Just keep refining, because the truth is, in this business, as an entrepreneur, it's never done.
Mm-hmm.
You're always refining. You're coming up with new things. That's part of the joy. That's part of the journey. And, you know, just be willing to make mistakes.
Absolutely. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And are you ready now for our lightning round?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay. So, Mary Jo, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, I want, oh, boy, now that you're saying that. I would like the national base, the MLB trophy, that big giant thing with all the flags on it.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I know. Cause I am a baseball freak, and I know it has nothing to do with my business, but baseball is a philosophy, and that's what
wow.
baseball. Yeah.
Neat. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh boy. I just got it. Wendy's. On the way home, I had a workshop this morning. I was starving, and Wendy's chili and a Frosty is my guilty pleasure.
Awesome. And what are you currently reading?
Oh, okay. I'm reading, what's the name of the book? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I actually am listening to it on Audible.
Uh-huh.
Called Go for the No.
Okay.
And it's about being open to no as the answer, because at least it's a definitive answer. And the more no's you get, it more indicates success, because you're targeting a specific person and not just a general group of people.
Neat.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Awesome. And what is your one productivity hack?
Oh, I have a stack of notebooks right next to me. I spend every morning sitting on the porch, not in the wintertime, but every morning sitting on the porch and writing my to-do list for the day, and I don't stop until it's done.
Nice. Nice. And what is your personal motto?
My personal motto?
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to laugh at yourself.
That's nice. I like that.
It's hard, believe me.
Yes, definitely.
But you do something and you're just like, wow, is that ridiculous? Please.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you do different if you were given another chance?
Oh, boy, I know exactly what I would do differently. I would be more open to coaching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first left corporate America, I thought I had a very definitive answer for a lot of things. And though some of those have proven correctly, some of them are not applicable to the people I work with now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be open to hearing their feedback.
Nice. Awesome. Mary Jo, thank you so much. That was really wonderful. And what is the best way for us to reach you?
You can reach me a couple of different ways. My email is mjcranmore, C-R-A-N-M-O-R-E, at clientcyclemarketing.com. The phone for the business is 860-709-4216.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was really wonderful, and I had so much fun. And thank you so much for the tip.
I had a great time, too. That was really fun. Thank you.
That, my friends, was Mary Jo Cranmore. I am sure you loved that interview. And reach out to her if you have any questions about videos and how to use them for your business. That's it for me today. Don't forget to go on our website, www.womanpreneursuccess.com, and get all the show notes and the freebies that Mary is offering. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're Womanpreneur Success. And if you want to join our private Facebook group, send me an email and I'll send you an invite for it. All right. Thank you so much for letting me hang out in your earbuds today. And I will see you on the flip side.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.